Welcome to the longest-running real estate talk show in the North Bay, The Real Estate Hour with Mike Kelly. Mike is here every Sunday morning at 9 with tips on buying and selling your home, information on the loans to look for, and the ones to avoid. Throughout the Real Estate Hour, call in and ask your questions direct to Mike. And now, the man whose first words were location, location, location. Here's Mike Kelly.
Good morning, Sonoma County. Mike Kelly. It is the Real Estate Hour, heard every Sunday morning right here on the News and Talk of Sonoma County, 1350. What are you looking at me that way for?
I'm just looking.
You're kind of looking at me going, is he going to get it right? How can I miss that? I got these signs in
front of
me.
Well, you get the phone number wrong every so often.
Well, I usually give him my number or the hotline number.
And I know you got a guest today, but I just wanted to, I saw your post about, was it your brother that was from Paradise?
No, actually, I was going to talk about that. No, it's my sister.
Oh, okay. Go ahead, because I got a little story for you, too, about that whole situation myself. It's been a very weird week, to say the least.
Well, it's the last of the records you want to break.
Okay? Yeah,
we were the worst natural disaster to hit California, the loss of buildings. In Paradise, it's grown to, what, 6,200 homes? In Paradise, have you been to Paradise? We have in the studio Mark Duran, and Mark's a old friend, known him for many, many years. Not an old contractor, but a contractor who's been doing this for many years. And he's our featured guest today. We're going to be talking about structural engineer reports, but before we get there, I think the phone's ringing, Joe. Before we get there, Mark, you've been around here for a long time. You went through the fire. You lost your properties in the fire, I understand.
Yes, correct.
Yeah. And that one record we had was like the worst loss of buildings in the state. I think it was like 50. I think the number was 5,200 or 5,400. So in Paradise, have you been to Paradise?
Over the years, yes.
It's just when you go up there, it's all pine trees.
Yes.
It's all pine trees. And it sits up on a ridge. The Feather Canyon is going down one side, and then you go down the Chico on the other side. So the issue we have, though, is that the loss of life there has not been, I don't think, is significant, but the structures, they lost 6,200 structures.
Wow.
And that's the whole town went, like, disappeared pretty much up there, you know, except for a few things.
Doesn't look much like Paradise anymore, does it?
Yeah, unfortunately not at all. My brother Lenny moved up there years and years and years ago, and I used to tell people, they go, where's your brother? I said, he's in Paradise. They go, I'm sorry to hear that. I said, no, it's a town above Chico. Oh, I'm glad to hear that. but my nieces are all raised up there. My sister-in-law, Lori, still lives up there with her husband, Dave. She lost her house. She lost a rental house. My good friend of mine who lost his house here in Fountain Grove lost his rental in Paradise.
Wow.
His insurance guy called him and said, now let me explain to you how this works. And he goes, excuse me, I know how this works.
Yeah.
You know, I've been through that before. Sorry, Joe, I was trying to have you calm down.
I didn't think I was that loud. I try to stay low. Well, you want to know the ironic. I have a friend who owns a house in Paradise.
Uh-huh.
And when we had our fire, he sent his wife and his family up to that house.
Oh, really?
Where her mom lives and her aunt and uncle lives. Well, I got to meet them last night. They're here now. And they were really in pretty good spirits considering, you know, everything they went through.
Yeah.
They had, well, like so many stories we heard from our fire, it was pretty amazing.
What was even more dramatic up there was the amount of cars that were abandoned.
Right.
On the I was listening to one report where one of the fire guys said it ran for like almost a mile. Cars just literally stopped in the middle of the road and gone. People had just gone up and took off.
Wow.
So it got, I mean, it never got that. It got pretty bad here coming down, especially Mark West and Fountain Grove.
Right, but not a lot of people made it out of their cars, and that's...
Well, I don't know, do they have a account yet at
the
all?
The account's up to 23.
23.
Yeah, it went dramatically up yesterday.
Well, if you know Paradise, missing. You can get lost if they're so easy, and there's no ways to really get down without going through... You know, I mean, Pensacola will eventually open up as you leave Paradise, as you go down into Chico. But, I mean, coming down through those pine trees. And, I mean, how many, you see those photos, Mark, of the forests of all the dead trees, and up right. in up in Paradise, there had to be just, you know, thousands of dead pine trees. Right. And geez, they're just
they feel pretty lucky that they're sitting in Santa Rosa today.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Anyway, okay. Well, sorry to unfortunately hear another fire then down south in Malibu.
And how about that? We've got some blue sky this morning.
I know.
How about that?
Yeah, it's kind of nice. Yeah.
Just a strange week. You did hear about the fire across the street yesterday, or did you?
Across the street?
Yes, it was at the Teamster building.
Really?
Yeah, it started at about the time I was here for the work. My daughter texts me and said, there's a fire across the street from you. I said, my daughter really worries too much about these things. I walked outside, and it was just flaming. Yeah,
I didn't even notice when I came by it. I just drove right by it.
Well, you can't see it. I walked over. I thought I was going to see something big, but I want people to relax. The fire department, the police, they were all here within 10 minutes, and a half an hour later.
Well, they're right down the street.
They were basically out. It was basically out a half hour later.
That's good. Okay. Oh, boy.
Okay, carry on.
Anyway, so yes, carry on. So but speaking of the fire, I was at, and the reason we have Mark here is that Mark is representing a firm that basically does structural engineering. So tell us the name of your firm, Mark, and just give us a little howdy.
Well, hello, good morning. It's we go by the name of Speedy Engineer, speedyengineer.com, but I'm working with my brother Paul Durand, who's been a structural and civil engineer for 40 years. And after the fire, because I've been a contractor here for a long time, some of my contractor friends were calling me and saying, we need structural engineering to get our permits, and right. the engineers are so slammed that it's going to be like 2-3 months. And I said, well, let me see if we can get something going and commit some time. And so that's how we got started. And then, of course, there's other inspections, since the structural engineers are so impacted by all this, they can't do the normal inspections of houses for sale.
Right.
So
right.
We've been doing that kind of work, too.
Yeah. And you know, now and with that fire, we had so many foundations that were just ripped out. You know, just right. either, you know, torn out because they were not any good. There were some folks who basically got structural engineers and said, wait a second, FEMA, hold on a second. You know, I'm not going to have you take my lot out because I think I can use my foundation. Mm-hmm. And some of them did. Those the early builders, we saw that there were a lot of the people who were using their existing foundations to do that. But FEMA pretty much ripped out everything as it was, wasn't it?
A lot of them were taken out. You know, of course, houses that were built 30, 40 years ago may not be up to date, because since the Northridge earthquake, that changed the code quite a bit, because places were built to code down there were severely destroyed.
Right.
And
right.
so the code got changed in terms of foundation depth, width, strapping, mm-hmm. All those kinds of things.
Yeah, well, all the, you know, when you look at Coffee Park, I mean, I think one of my contractor friends told me the amount of code changes was something like on the order of 60, 70 pages that, you know, since those were built, because those were all built back in, what, the 70s and the 80s in Coffee
right,
Park.
Right.
And so they had to totally redo those properties and look at it from the standpoint. So we're going to have Mark chat about just what a structural engineer does and what it is they look for, what a report handles. I've had many in my 40 years in the business. We'll swap some horror stories about. I'm sure we have all sorts of stories we could talk about, interesting structures that I've had an escrow that my clients did not purchase because of structural issues. But right. There's a whole bunch of things you need to be aware of. So we'll have Mark jump in here. But I wanted to bring him in because I went to the Impact Sonoma State of the Wildfire Recovery, and this is put on by the Business Journal, Brad Bollinger, and my friend Paul Pastorino, who works over there. And it was a pretty interesting event. It was just after the election, Mark. So Proposition N had failed, and that was get a two-thirds majority to go through, and that was going to be the, you know, affordable housing bond that they were going to be getting a lot of leverage. A lot of people were really shooting for it, except for I think the operators union did not want it because it did not have enough union people on to do the work. So it went down to defeat. But Mike McGuire got up, and if you listen to Mike McGuire, who's our senator, state senator, he was saying there's all sorts of money coming our way. So it's they talked about redoing the redevelopment funds again, how they're going to institute that throughout the state of California. Which a lot of people, as you probably well know, Mark, really took it in the shorts when they got rid of the redevelopment funds because, mm-hmm. This was a pretty much a cash grab by the state of California. So that's going to come down the pike. Probably there's about 1,350 structures. I think Keith Woods, I heard Keith, and Keith was actually optimistic. Now, if you know Keith Woods, mm-hmm. For Keith to be optimistic, it's like, I don't know. It's one of those events that they should have had a recorder there. I hope they got it on tape. But but he said he's pretty optimistic they'll have 200 homes built and occupied by the end of the year, which is pretty good. Mm-hmm. But on the order of like 1,350 structures are either in the permit process, they're being built right now, they have permits for, so that's kind of good. But we lost, 5,200, right?
Something like that.
Yeah,
yes.
So it's going to probably be, at least 4 or 5 years. And some of those homes in Fountain Grove, who knows when those will be built, So talk about structural engineering issues. So we're going to come back and talk to Mark. Mark Duran is here. We'll take your calls. The call number is 636-1350, 636-1350. Give us a call if you want to talk to Mark, and we'll put him up on a headset if you do call in. We're talking structural engineers and the reporting process when you buy a home. Do you need a structural engineer? Do you need a phase one toxic? Do you need a pest report? Do you need a home inspection? You don't really need any of these, but, boy, you better get them in certain properties in certain areas here in Sonoma County. So we'll take a break and come back more. I'm Mike Kelly. This is the Real Estate Hour.
The Real Estate Hour with Mike Kelly. Mike will be right back with more on KSRO.
Dr. Tim Hsu is with us. He's a veterinarian.
The new law allows for California veterinarians to discuss cannabis with their clients. Unfortunately, it doesn't allow them to recommend or prescribe it at this time.
Live and local, Steve Jackson on The Drive, afternoons on KSRO.
If you're selling a home in Sonoma County, you know the fires have changed everything. It's more important than ever to have an agent who really knows the market. That's why you should call Mike Kelly.
It's a different landscape these days. You're dealing with insurance companies, lawyers, inspectors. I can help you get through all of this stuff and sell your home the right way with less hassle.
If you've been affected by the fires, you need the Mike Kelly difference. Let Mike use his Sonoma County resources and connections to get you through all the obstacles and his market knowledge to help you set the right price.
There'll be a lot of homes coming on the market, so now's the time to list yours. Show me your home, and I'll show you 3 quick and easy tips to maximize the return on your investment, even if you don't use me.
If you want the Mike Kelly difference, you've got to call Mike. Find Mike at MikeKelly.com or call Mike at 707-322-8503, 707-322-8503.
Sonoma County's FM News Talk at 103.5 and 94.5. KSRO, depend on it.
Welcome back to the Real Estate Hour with Mike Kelly on KSRO. Now, here's more with Mike.
We are back. Good morning, Mike Kelly. It is the Real Estate Hour. Welcome once again. Are we the pregame at all for the Raiders or the Raiders?
I guess you'd call it the pre-pregame.
Pre-pregame.
They play at 12:30 against San Diego.
San Diego, ooh.
Not good. Gonna be ugly. Yeah, the pregame shows at 12:30.
And who are the Niners playing Monday night, right?
Right, and did you hear, it's sort of interesting to me, they're thinking about moving the game because of the smoke situation.
Oh, that's probably right, yeah.
Which the Raiders haven't said anything about, and they're playing today, and they're a lot closer, so that doesn't make a lot. And since we're talking that, we do plan on tomorrow night. We were supposed to broadcast the Rancho Cotati game Friday, but it got wiped out, postponed because of the smoke. The Warriors are supposed to play tomorrow, but we are planning to broadcast the Rancho Cotati game if they play it tomorrow night.
Oh, okay.
Just so people know that. Broadcast 6:45.
Okay,
cool. Go back to work.
All right, can I go back to work? Thank you very much for that. Okay, so Where the heck was it? Oh, I was going to say Happy Veterans Day. This is Veterans Day.
There you go. Today. Good job.
Okay, and my old man was a Navy guy in World War II. He was actually sunk in the Pacific. He was on the USS Chicago, and they got torpedoed. Then they got kamikazed, and they were limping back to port, and they found him again and nailed him. And he would a lot of his buddies went down with the ship. They didn't want to get into the water because they were scared to death of sharks. They had a lot of really interesting inner city, you know, Navy guys that served in the Navy for some reason. And but they were just scared to death of sharks. And they wouldn't get in the water. My old man said he was sitting there and bobbing up and down, and they were yelling at him. And he said, God, a whole bunch of sailors went right down on the ship because they were scared to death of the sharks. But anyway, but he got out of that. They flew him back to San Francisco. They gave him some R&R, and then they sent him out to the North Atlantic. So,
oh my gosh!
World War II, they needed people, and they put you to work. So, anyway, so then my uncle Chick went in, and he was in the Navy. My uncle Tom was the smartest guy. He was 17. He joined the last day you could join in the Army. Okay, as a veteran, it still got all your veteran benefits. So he joined the last day. What did they do? My Irish uncle, they shipped him off to North Korea. He was in charge of a whiskey depot in Korea before the police action happened, you know, all that kind of stuff. That's the perfect place for a young Irish guy to put him
in
charge of a whiskey depot, you know. Good. They must have said, so what's one of your predilections? I like to drink a lot. Okay, here you go. Anyway, so Mark, welcome again to the show.
Thank you.
And like I said, Mark, and you know, I have two solo tubes in my house. You and I were chatting because you've sold that company to your son, but I love those solo tubes.
Oh, good.
And you had what was the company called again?
It's called Natural Light Solar.
And it still is operating. Correct. Your
yes.
son runs it.
Yes.
And if you have any dark room, I'll just give a plug for you.
There you go.
The company. If you have a dark room, and I had a dressing room we used, and then my office den. I have a separate building in my property, and I had two of those tubes put in, and they did a fabulous job. The guy who did it just was so nice and just no mess, got in there, got it done. We also put one in our living room, and people walk in, and it's funny because in my office, I hired a new assistant, and she kept complaining about the light flickering on and off over her desk. And I had to tell her, I said, that's a solar tube, and mm-hmm. those are the branches going over the thing. But they're really fabulous in case you have a dark room. But welcome to the show, Mark. So give us kind of your background, and tell us your name of your company again. And your brother is the registered engineer down in Southern California. And the reason you guys would come about, and we've discovered this, is that there's just not enough people up here to handle what's going on with the fire.
That's correct.
Yeah.
That's correct.
So
the structural engineers around here are backed up quite a bit because of all the fire and the work that needs to be done. So I've been here, moved up here in 1969 and then became a contractor in the 70s. So I've been doing construction work in this area since then. My brother's been a structural engineer for over 40 years and has done things like the Northridge earthquake. He went down to New Orleans area with Katrina and spent many, many months inspecting buildings and doing reports and everything. So after the fire, my contractor friend said, can you get us some engineering fast? And then, so I talked with my brother and we, you know, committed some resources and stayed focused on certain things so we wouldn't get, you know, so slammed that we couldn't get things done.
Yeah. So is there any primary thing you really stayed focused on? I mean, what could you have gotten or that you could have gotten?
Well, one of the things is we're doing the inspections for home sales.
Gotcha.
Because a lot of realtors, friends called me and said, we can't get an inspection for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks, and we want to close escrow.
Yeah.
So we're focusing on certain things that have to get done, have a big time component, because a lot of the bigger firms are doing the, you know, the houses and have the more extensive projects. So we're trying to pick up the things that have gotten lost in the dust, basically.
Yeah, and you're going to pay dearly for some things that you were paying dearly for before, specifically because they can't get to you, and if they're going to do it, they're going to charge you. I was trying to get a flood certificate on a property, and I found a real nice guy up in Cloverdale, a surveyor up there who was able to do it at a decent number. The other company I called, which is one I've used many, many times, they were 6 weeks out, and they were over double what he was charging.
Right. Exactly.
So they're just, you know, it's kind of like gravy time for all the people that are really in need right now, and those are those structural engineers, surveyors, I mean, all sorts of people that are really need to get all these lots taken care of. So you filled that niche. So how have you been doing? Have you been busy, and have you been speedy?
Yes. I'll give you an example. A realtor called me 2 days ago, house in escrow. It's a condo, 4-unit building in Rohnert Park with foundation problems. And They got a couple of two different contractors to come out and look at it. And one contractor said, oh, it only costs $2,600. And the other one said $26,000.
Oops.
So they knew they needed an engineer to actually look at it.
Yeah.
So I went down there and did the inspection yesterday. And on Saturday, because I do things on weekends too. That's another way we are speedy.
Sure.
We'll go out on weekends.
Sure.
And by Monday, I'll have the report. I already told the realtor and the owner what I think is going on and what they need to do, but not the
$26,000
alternative.
That's very good. Yeah, and we run into a lot of things with that. There's a big, like you said in your material you sent me, you know, the engineering reports are a lot of about opinion.
Right.
And they're not somebody you'd think engineering would be cut and dried. Well, then, you could have engineers look at an issue and probably come up with, like we found out, three different scenarios.
Right. Well, there's some of it's opinion and then a great deal of it's experience.
Right.
You know, Paul's seen so many, I would guess tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of buildings. He's done interesting engineering like stage and concert engineering, all those stages and the light standards and everything they put up for a concert, all has to be engineered and inspected by the engineer. So he just has a breadth of experience in these kinds of things. And you know, and sometimes people look at things like that. The $26,000 contractor looked at it through the kind of work that he does, and he thought that was the solution to it.
Right.
And the other guy who is a little more pragmatic said, you're going to open a can of worms in a condo by starting to try to jack up a foundation. You know, that will cause a whole bunch of problems.
Yeah, it was really interesting. I was watching a science program last night where they were putting in an underground in Amsterdam. And the older homes there that were built in the 13th, 14th century, it's all sand. And basically the rock bed is down about, you know, 80 feet. But they're all pilings that go down, but it's all sand.
Mm-hmm.
And they built this underground, and they didn't put the walls in properly. So the sand started to leak through the underground, and it just totally unsettled all of these houses. They had to spend billions of dollars to get them redone.
Right.
Well, in our area, we have areas that you know there's going to be an issue. I mean, the Southwest area sits on basically a lake out there. You know, in the wintertime, you have a lot of, you know, underground water intrusion and this type of thing. Over here, just in Bennett Valley, they used to build these houses over here with jacks. So there's old homes by Creekside and over off of Hohen Avenue.
So they could jack them up or let them down depending on what's going
like
on.
Like every homeowner is going to get under his house during the spring and readjust these things, right? Yeah, right. That didn't happen.
Yes.
So now when you buy a property there, your home inspector is going to get underneath, and what he's going to look at, he's going to see nothing but all these jacks that are rusted out, that are falling down. So that's when we call you and we say, Mark, could you come over here and tell me what I got to do?
That's right.
All right. And then you know as well as I do, you know, adobe soil in Rohnert Park. So a lot of that has to do with these issues.
Yeah,
so
this condo that I went out, it's in Rohnert Park, and it did have a grade beam and pier foundation, but it's 30-something years old.
Yep.
And she said, I noticed this ridge in the floor just after the Napa earthquake in 2014.
Okay.
So it probably shook the soil a little bit, and, you know, like pudding, it settled.
Yep. Well, we're going to have Mark hold that thought and come back and find out what he recommended, what you can do with that kind of an issue. We'll take a break, come back more. I'm Mike Kelly. This is the Real Estate Hour.
Join the switch to crystal clear KSRO-FM, 103.5 Santa Rosa, Windsor, 94.5 Petaluma. Hear the difference.
A request: with California wildfires killing more than 20 people and destroying more than 6,000 structures, most of those casualties and damage in the north, Governor Jerry Brown asking for a presidential major disaster declaration for federal aid to help emergency crews and help people recover. ABC's Alex Stone in Los Angeles County.
It all comes down to what the Santa Ana winds do. The forecast is for extreme winds blowing through Tuesday, but right now it's calm. The fire is not very active. But if the wind does return, it could be a whole different ballgame and walls of flames could again be running.
New York City's Veterans Day parade is underway, and near the nation's capital, a ceremony at Arlington National Cemetery included soldiers doing rifle maneuvers and a jet flying overhead. President and Mrs. Trump are flying back to Washington from Paris, where Mr. Trump was among those speaking at ceremonies on the 100th anniversary of the end of World War I.
Millions of American, French, and Allied troops had fought with extraordinary skill and valor.
Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
KSRO.
If you're selling a home in Sonoma County, you know the fires have changed everything. It's more important than ever to have an agent who really knows the market. That's why you should call Mike Kelly.
It's a different landscape these days. You're dealing with insurance companies, lawyers, inspectors. I can help you get through all of this stuff and sell your home the right way with less hassle.
If you've been affected by the fires, you need the Mike Kelly difference. Let Mike use his Sonoma County resources and connections to get you through all the obstacles and his market knowledge to help you set the right price.
There'll be a lot of homes coming on the market, so now's the time to list yours. Show me your home and I'll show you three quick and easy tips to maximize the return on your investment, even if you don't use me.
If you want the Mike Kelly difference, you've got to call Mike. Find Mike at MikeKelly.com or call Mike at 707-322-8503, 707-322-8503.
After my heart attack, I knew I was going to have to make some changes. Smoking was out, and I had to start exercising and taking better care of my body. You know what really surprised me? My body started to feel better faster when I dealt with the sadness and fear I was feeling after the heart attack.
When it comes to your body, your mind really matters. For more about the mind-body connection, go to apahelpcenter.org. That's apahelpcenter.org. A message from the American Psychological Association. Heart attacks happen to middle-aged men, right? Well, heart disease kills women too. My doctor said to start taking care of my body, and then he surprised me. He said my anger and family stress put me at risk, and stress is linked to heart disease. I guess having a broken heart is more than just an expression.
When it comes to your body, your mind really matters. For more about the mind-body connection, go to apahelpcenter.org. That's apahelpcenter.org. A message from the American Psychological Association.
With Sonoma County's most accurate, most dependable forecast, here's Daniel Trucios on the KSRO Weather Watch.
Still hazy to begin the week today at 77 degrees, 70 on the coast. Clear skies tonight, low 36, 42 on the shores. Blue skies for Monday at 76, 69 in Bodega Bay. Few clouds for Tuesday at 74, 65 on the coastline. Depend on weather every 30 minutes on FM News Talk 103.5 and 94.5. KSRO.
Welcome back to the Real Estate Hour with Mike Kelly on KSRO. Now, here's more with Mike.
We are back. Good morning, Mike Kelly. It is the Real Estate Hour. Delighted to have in studio Speedy Engineering, and that would be Mark Durand. And if you want to get a hold of Mark, okay, the company is Speedy Structural Engineer, and his brother is an engineer in Southern California. Mark has been a contractor for many, many years here in Sonoma County. If you want to get a hold of Mark and chat with him about why you may need to get a structural report, we're going to chat about it a little more depth now. His number, 583-9069, 583-9069. 69 or speedyengineer@yahoo.com. Yahoo.
That's right.
Speedy Engineer. Okay. So, you know, we're chatting about now. Normally, when we sell a property, the two reports we usually always recommend is a structural pest control report, and the structural is a portion of that report, and then also a home inspection. And then those could lead to, you know, well, you better get somebody to look at this. And that usually happens if we have a property that's an older, you know, property, wasn't rebuilt very well. I have a really good permit consultant I used before named Tom Havstead, who's been on the show here many times. And he's one of those guys I would call in when I get a different kind of a use that's doesn't show up in the county tax records like a chicken coop that's now four apartments, you know, that kind of a thing. But tell us what you're seeing, and why would somebody need to call you into the mix? What would trigger, say, a home inspection or a structural pest control report where we say, you know, you better call Mark at Speedy Engineer because you really need to have somebody look at this property?
Well, one of the most common things that we see and come across, Mike, is work done without a permit, where the people have removed walls, built walls, or built structures. In September, I had a call from a lender, and they had a house in Petaluma, and there was an addition without a permit. Well, then they had were required to get an engineer to look at it.
Right.
And so I went out and inspected this room that was built on. It was poorly constructed, code violations galore, leaking water. You know, my recommendation was you're going to have to remove this from the house. I mean, that's up to the owners and all that stuff, whether they do it or not.
Yeah, I call that TLC, tear down, level, and condemn.
That what it is? Now, the other thing we see is, you know, where people have removed structural walls and things are sagging and looking pretty sad and maybe even in danger of falling, and they didn't think that they had to put any kind of a header or reinforce it in any way.
Yeah. And that's what we get. That's probably one of the most common questions I've asked when I show a property is say, Mike, you think that's a common wall or a bearing wall? I said, I have no idea. You should, if that's something that you need to find out, you need to talk to a structural engineer or a contractor who can tell you that.
That's one of the things that we engineers are thankful for is people who remove load-bearing walls. It's like the Full Employment Act for structural engineers.
So when you're looking, so what would really – so it's usually something that's done without permits or if you go to the county tax record. So, I mean, we have a lot of properties – that just don't get recorded at the county offices as far as, you know, any type of work that's done.
Right.
So when you get a job, it's one of the first things you do is to go to the PRMD and see if this has even been allowed or any work's been done on the property?
Yes. So like that particular one, I would go down and check and see if there are any permits, what the permit record is before I go out there so I know what's going on. You know, depending on the age of the house, there's probably not plans. That I can see how it was supposed to be built. But like that four-unit condo in Roanoke Park, it said that the joists went a certain way and the girders went another way. Well, in reality, they were 90 degrees different. So,
really?
Oh, yeah. Plans, what the plans say and what they actually built were two different things.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that also can throw a little monkey wrench in it because you got to say they built it 90 degrees off. Is that structurally sound or not?
Yeah, definitely. So now, you take photos of these things, then you send them to your brother, and he looks at them and makes recommendations, or how does the process work with you guys?
Well, a lot of times when I get a call, then I will do a little research and talk to him first and say, what should I be looking for? Now, after 40 years as a contractor, I built a lot of different buildings, and you know, I know a lot of things the way they're supposed to be. So he'll sometimes say, well, look particularly on this one, look for this, that. And I'll go out, take measurements, you know, have a level, take pictures, whatever I need to do, talk to the owners. A lot of times owners will give clues, you know, to things like the one in Roanoke Park. She said, well, it's this hog back in the floor, you know, that happened after the Napa earthquake in 2014. I never noticed it. The wood floor had a up and down in it until after that. So, I mean, that's a clue that something shook a little bit and maybe the foundation settled or something like that.
Yeah, I had a friend of mine, when I first got into business, I had an old-time realtor used to walk around. He'd always carry a sack of marbles with him when he went on properties. And he would put the marbles in the middle of the living room and see what happened. And I was with him one time, and it was so funny because they all went in different directions. You know?
Yes.
And so, I mean, because when you look at just consider Coffee Park. When you consider Coffee Park, what happened there, that's not really that old of a subdivision compared to what's happening, say, in Petaluma, all right, where you have the downtown core. Same thing with Santa Rosa, where you have the downtown core, Healdsburg, okay, parts of Cloverdale. In a lot of these properties were built with without permits at the time. I mean, we didn't keep, I think, records until the 60s, I think, for most of
late,
the structures.
Late 50s, I think.
Yeah. So a lot of these things, there's not even any permits. So when you walk into a house, and help the consumer here, Mark, because, you know, because I see the same thing. I'll see a crown on the floor. Mm-hmm. I'll see a stucco wall that's pushing out a little bit, mm-hmm. you know, and it doesn't look, you know, straight. Or I'll stand in a hallway and I'll look at, like, going through four or five different doorways to see what the alignment looks like, and you got one door is going right, one door is going left. You know, when should we say, you know, you better have somebody look at this property, or is that just an older settling issue, this kind of thing?
Well, you know, one of the issues, Mike, is you have to understand tolerances, and there's no perfection in building, especially, and once again, go to Rohnert Park, and even if you do a foundation correctly, you know, you have to stop somewhere in terms of cost.
Sure.
So you may get certain kinds of things, like this particular building I saw, one side of it is 3 inches lower than the other side. But to get the building back up to being equal, that would be a huge cost and probably cause more problems than it would solve. And 3 inches on a building that size, yeah, if I put marbles on the floor there, they would all roll toward the low side of the building.
Right.
I lived in a house in Rincon Valley, old farmhouse, and we knew anything round was going to be along a certain wall because that was the low wall in the house. But it's not like, you know, like you're on the side of a mountain or something. It's a subtle, that you can't really feel it. In something that big.
Yeah, and that's where a lot of people freak out. I mean, a lot of homeowners, we have a lot of younger folks buying homes nowadays, and they just totally don't, you know, they go, oh, my God, look at this. They say, well, the house is like 95 years old, or it's like 60 years old or 70. I mean, what can we – is there like a max limitation on what a house will look like after 60 or 70 years if you can – find a straight residence of that age, you know, good luck to you.
Right.
But I've seen them where they're moving all over the place. But is there like a blatant thing that's cause for an engineer? Is it a crack in a foundation, or is it a crack in a foundation in a home that's only 2 years old? This type of thing.
Yes. Well, if you have, you know, significant visible cracks in foundations and you're starting to see sheetrock cracks or anything like that, like we did one on a house off Chenate, it was quite a few months ago, and when the realtor went in and looked at it, there were a lot of cracks, door corner cracks and everything,
going,
something's wrong here.
Yeah.
Well, it was a downslope lot,
and
on the lower side, there was an access door to under the house, and it was maybe 6 feet tall at that point. Well, somebody got the bright idea thinking, well, if we just dig out some of the more dirt underneath here, we can have a full basement.
Oh, no.
Well, they undermined the foundation and the piers and all that stuff, and the house was, you know, sinking in different directions, and, you know, it was a mess, basically.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's a matter of extent. I don't know whether you can get into any older houses and not see some crookedness and things. You know, because there's a lot of those houses. That farmhouse we lived in was built on mud sills. They took redwood.
Right.
Tuck it on a flat surface of the ground and just started building. And in the earthquake of, was it 1969? Was that the big earthquake that did
right.
That house shook like a rat in a dog's mouth and was over. There was nothing any worse off than it was before that earthquake, you know?
I like this.
In fact, I heard it. I woke up and I said, because it was before the earthquake, and I heard a noise like a train. I said, there's no trains anywhere near here. And all of a sudden, boom, that thing hit the house and, you know, everything fell down and all the round things rolled down to the one side.
Yeah.
But that house was still there, you know, 20 years later.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing when you think about how many earthquakes we've gone through here in Santa Rosa. And,
right.
And especially, like, you look at some of the homes in the JC. So explain to me, like, the difference between, like, why people should be – and I think a lot of people are educated about this regarding a cripple wall.
Yes.
You know, when you have a cripple wall in the JC, you know, where you normally will not see that anywhere else in Sonoma County because mm-hmm. they're Victorians and this type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, one of the things we did when I got in the business back in 78 is that there's a whole push to brace those cripple walls.
Yes.
You know, so they just, because what basically what happens after with an earthquake with a cripple wall, it just goes bloop, it just tips right over.
Correct.
Yeah, yeah. Right. So are people still bracing those cripple walls? And is that, I mean, obviously you've been around here for a long time. We know what to look for.
Yes.
You know, and so what do you do in that regard? I mean, how far do you take it as far as, okay, like that, say that house on Sinead. Mm-hmm. So what was the fix there?
Well, that one needed remedial foundation work because it was sinking in different places in different amounts. You know, they had undermined it so badly. So that one, you know, it just to save the house. But you know, part of structural engineering is the cost value consideration.
Right,
you know,
right.
You could spend tons of money on something and not get a lot of value out of it. Probably what people notice with all this rebuilding is how many metal straps are being used now. Horizontal straps, vertical straps, tie downs. You know, that is something that is a lot newer, especially again since the Northridge earthquake, which showed certain kinds of earthquake forces were not being dealt with very well, even in homes.
Hmm.
And I went with my brother and saw some apartment buildings that literally had to be torn down.
Really? Wow.
They were so bad.
Yeah, yeah,
you know,
yeah.
So they couldn't take that force, up and down force, which was a little bit unique to that particular earthquake, like kind of like a jackhammer. I think there were some freeway, you know, bridges that fell down everything.
Yeah. Well, some of those apartments you can see, they just pancaked it right underneath into the
parking area. Especially the ones with the garages underneath.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you know,
every time I think about that, I think over here at the condos right across the way here in Townview,
mm-hmm.
there's all that parking underneath those structures there.
Right.
And look at those four-story things. I go, oof.
Right.
There's certain places I don't want to be in an earthquake, and that's one of them. But
so there's some strapping and things that can be done on older buildings that is effective, and for the money spent is effective. You know, that's what you get. Like, that building in Rohnert Park. You know, one contractor wanted to jack the foundation up at a cost of $26,000. Well, if the building is sunk down 3 inches and you jack it up 3 inches, that force is going to go somewhere in the building.
Sure,
it's going to crack or break something else.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because it's settled into a you know, a certain pattern. Just like we do as we get older, we get settled in a certain pattern. You try to change that pattern, something's going to have to shift somewhere else.
Yeah, really. Trying to lift my face, that'd be at least 26,000. Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah. Okay, so we'll take a break, come back more with Mark Duran of Speedy Engineering when we return with the Real Estate Hour. Call number 636-1350. If you want to chat with Mark after the show, give him a call at 583-9069, 583-9069. Right back after these words.
The Real Estate Hour with Mike Kelly. Mike will be right back with more on KSRO.
Jones to Durant. Durant looked ahead. Durant, middle, right side, Clay. Takes the dribble. Now the three. Got it! An NBA record for Clay Thompson. 14 threes.
I'm Clay Thompson, and this is the home of the NBA champion Golden State Warriors, KSRO.
If you're selling a home in Sonoma County, you know the fires have changed everything. It's more important than ever to have an agent who really knows the market. That's why you should call Mike Kelly.
It's a different landscape these days. You're dealing with insurance companies, lawyers, inspectors. I can help you get through all of this stuff and sell your home the right way with less hassle.
If you've been affected by the fires, you need the Mike Kelly difference. Let Mike use his Sonoma County resources and connections to get you through all the obstacles and his market knowledge to help you set the right price.
There'll be a lot of homes coming on the market, so now's the time to list yours. Show me your home and I'll show you three quick and easy tips to maximize the return on your investment, even if you don't use me.
If you want the Mike Kelly difference, you've got to call Mike. Find Mike at MikeKelly.com or call Mike at 707-322-8503, 707-322-8503.
I'm Quinn Cook with the Golden State Warriors.
I'm Stephen Curry.
I'm Steve Kerr.
I'm Damian Jones.
This is where the Warriors play.
103.5, 94.5.
KSRO.
Welcome back to the Real Estate Hour with Mike Kelly on KSRO. Now, here's more with Mike.
We are back. Good morning, Mike Kelly. Good to have you here on the show. The Happy Veterans Day to all you vets out there. And want to thank Mark Duran for coming in. And it's, God, the hour just flew by. He's with Speedy Structural Engineer. If you want to chat with Mark, you can give him a call at 583-9069, 583-9069, or you can shoot him an email at speedyengineer@yahoo.com. So we were chatting about what we see a lot of, Joe, I can hear you. So the sound like you're on the. I have a lot of feedback on my. Huh? I have a lot of feedback on mine. You have the open mic or something? It's like.
I don't know.
Like I can hear you talking. Is your thing on or off?
I'm off.
You're off?
Yeah.
Yes.
See, I'm off.
You're off. You're off, but I can hear you through my thing. Anyway, so Mark, and welcome again once more. So as we wrap up the final segment here, and we were chatting off the air, you mentioned the effect of water on properties.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's one of the things that's common, cause a lot of problems, and people don't think about it a lot of times for structure, but water can change the nature of the soil, especially once again in adobe soils, and cause things to sink, or if there is any earthquakes, even some that we don't feel. You know, just think about when you take a nice thick cake batter and pour it in the cake pan, then you shake the pan to level it out.
Sure.
Well, if it
sure.
starts shaking something that's saturated, you know, the parts of the building can sink. Or again, this place I looked at in Roanoke Park, one side of the building had pavement, concrete, the parking lot, so that kept water away from the building. The other side had landscaping with drip irrigation, and so the side with the drip irrigation landscaping is 3 inches lower than the other side.
Yeah.
So they need to be aware, I mean, people need to be aware of being careful to keep the water away. I mean, it's some extreme situations we tell people, look, you need to put concrete or something decorative in this concrete nature that keeps the water away from the foundation for at least 4 feet all the way around the building. And so, of course, country properties, you've got bigger drainage problems.
Right.
And you got to keep the vegetation from blocking the drainage and sending it places. You know, you don't want a lake or swimming pool under your house, but you just don't want it really wet even around for let's say 5 feet around the house in all directions.
Yeah, you can see if you've been doing this for a while, like I have and you have, when you go to a site, you can look around and go, oops, we're going to have some drainage issues here.
Right.
Especially if the property's at the base of a hill. I was looking at a little place in the junior college area, and the guy was complaining about water issues, and you could see where it just came right down the hill, and the drainage was just, you know, coming right onto this property. So when you're out looking at property, folks, one of the things you need to look at is the site, not just the house itself. So diverting water away from a structure is very important, in other words.
Yes. And actually, people sometimes would say, well, da-da-da, wintertime. And I said, you're lucky if you're going out there in the rain. Put on your boots and your raincoat and everything and go out, and you can see where the water's going.
Yeah.
I had property on Mark West that had burned in the fires, 4 acres, and pretty much every year, the first rain or so, I'd go out in my boots and raincoat just to make sure that there wasn't some vegetation or rocks had fallen into something that was, you know, making the water go in the wrong directions, and get it all, you know, squared away for the rest of the winter.
Yeah. People, you know, we recommend to anybody who's in escrow, and then there's a rain during when they first got into escrow, we say get out there and go to the property and look around. This is the time. Get underneath the house if you can. I mean, I can't tell you how many times we've done home inspections where you open up the crawl space and you see your reflection.
Yes.
You know, because there's 6 inches or 8 inches of standing water.
Yes.
I mean, literally standing water. And most contractors will tell you, well, there's a nice ring around the foundation where probably every winter that thing will fill up. So as a structural engineer, okay, you're basically saying, okay, that needs to be taken away because eventually it's going to, erode the foundation?
Yes. You know, and of course, moisture causes all the rot and other problems. And rot, if it's extensive enough, obviously rot causes structural problems because one of your biggest structural factors is gravity. Now, if you're not keeping the building resisting the forces of gravity, you know, then you're going to have things fall down or sag or, you know, cause great difficulties. I think all of us have seen some of these roof failures where a roofing company goes up and stacks a whole bunch of new roofing material, but they stack it in one little area of the roof, not usually in residential so much, right, but there's been a few commercial things that have had roof failures where they stack a big pile of new roofing just in one spot and doesn't even need an earthquake sometimes all of a sudden it just
yeah.
gives up.
That's not good.
No.
Yeah, but and we deal with water quite a bit, you know, with one of the things we always, you know, talk about is diverting that water away from the house. So we usually recommend a sump pump, you know, be put in. Now, that's our kind of easy fix, but there's a reason water is going under that house.
Right.
So is that where you come into the mix and say, okay, look, you've got a bigger picture here than just sticking a sump pump?
Well, a lot of times the water has caused a structural problem, you know, foundations sinking, but not all the same. You know, one corner is sinking more than another. So all of a sudden, if you notice walls out of plumb excessively, floors out of level excessively, cracks in foundations, it's just one of the things some people don't consider is the water is the cause of that. So those downspout, you know, hose flex things that take the water away, grading it away from the foundation.
Right.
All of those things are not just a mold, mildew, or humidity problem for the building. They could be the cause of the structural cracking and everything.
Yeah, most of the contractors we use for our reports recommend all of that. You know,
yes.
They say keep that water away from it. But there are some times where you can see that it's going to be an issue over and over and over again. And then you may have to, at that point, get into some sort of a French drain or some sort of a drainage system. Is that something you guys look at and recommend?
We do that. Of course, when you start getting into more extensive drainage things. Now, Paul is a civil engineer and a structural engineer. Civil engineering is more concerned with those kinds of things, like some civil engineers are specialists in septic system designs or, you know, French drain things and all that stuff. But we get into its structure. Like, we even did a garage down in Sonoma recently, and the soils engineer is the guy who actually tests the soil and says, this soil has these problems or these strengths.
Right.
Well, he said, this soil is crap, essentially. You're going to have to put footings down to solid
bedrock
around this thing, and then build the slab for the garage so it basically sits on those footings and can withstand. If the dirt goes away, the slab will stay.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. That's something that, you know, when people are looking at buying some of these fire lots, you know, they really need to look at the big picture.
Correct.
What's going on, okay?
Correct.
Especially when it comes to the soils. Well, we got to get out of here. You know, Mark, it's terrific having you here. I'm sorry, it runs so fast all the time.
Yeah.
Give us your contact information once again.
Okay. Well, over speedyengineer.com is our website.
Right.
speedyengineer@yahoo is my email, and 583-9069 is the local phone number.
Great. And if you have, like Mark was talking about, some things that are a little unsettling to you, like your foundation of your house, you may wish to, you know, talk to Mark before you talk to a pest control guy, okay? Mark, thanks for being here.
Right.
We appreciate
it. I appreciate
it. Okay,
Mike.
Happy Veterans Day to one and all. This is the Real Estate Hour. We'll be back next Sunday with another edition. Have a great day.
You've been listening to the longest-running real estate talk show in the North Bay, The Real Estate Hour with Mike Kelly. Join Mike every Sunday morning at 9 for tips on buying and selling your home. Call in and ask your questions direct. Don't forget to check in daily with The Real Estate Hour's official blog at therealestatehourblog.com. Mike Kelly on The Real Estate Hour, Sunday mornings on KSRO and KSRO.com.
The preceding was a paid presentation.